One, two. There we go. Great. Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon to the AM congregation. Wonderful to see you all. Just so lucky to see so many faces in the chairs. And everybody was sounding healthy while we were worshiping. That's always a positive sign. So well done to you all. And, you know, while I was worshiping as well, I know that the 2:30 in the afternoon, because it's Sunday, most of you, when you were younger, didn't want to go and have your afternoon sleep. But now that we're older, we like our afternoon sleep. And I want to say to you that well done for being here. And I really am trusting that God is going to move powerfully in our midst in this afternoon meeting. I want to say that maybe as we feed on the word, magies vol, oogies toe, after the preach. Okay. So with that, I do want to single out a few folk this afternoon. And firstly, Uncle Roger, it was your birthday yesterday, eh? That's right, eh? I mean, he doesn't look a day older than 21. But let's give him a round of applause. Happy birthday for yesterday. I don't know if there was anybody else who had a birthday this week or maybe an anniversary. If you did, just stick your hand up. We'd just love to just celebrate with you. We're in family. Is anybody else? All right. Well, you're on your own today. Well done. It's wonderful to have you with us in the meeting. So with that, there's just a sensing before I get into the preach. You know, something that I felt that the Lord had sort of laid on my heart. And I felt like I needed to encourage three individuals. I'm not sure. I know Henry's here. I know Roger's here. But I'm not sure if Stan is here, and if he isn't. And then I want to say to you, if you are over the age of 17, I really am being honoring, I'm not being disrespectful in any way when I say this, but if you are over the age of 70, I just feel, particularly for some of the men, I felt like the Lord wanted to encourage you with this. So Titus 2, verses 1 and 2 says, "You must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and endurance." And the reason, I don't know why God is wanting me to do this, but I felt like I needed to honor Henry, Stan, Roger, and some of you who are maybe older than 70, the men in particular, but these guys in particular, the reason being, because as I read that scripture, this is what I see in their lives. And I want to say to us as a younger group of people and as saints, God puts us into a family. We don't have a mountain bike group and an old ladies group and a young ladies group and an old men's group and a surfing group. God puts us into family. There's a reason for it. And so what God does is he brings us into a space that we can learn from those that are older than us that have walked a journey. And I want to encourage you today. Would you make time to hang with these guys and hear their story? And I think it'll even tie up a little bit in my preach with where we're going. But it's important to hang with these guys and some of the older folk here. We've got so much that we can learn from them. But the encouragement to you is the older generation, God has not written you off. Henry has the wonderful privilege of being in full-time ministry. This is one of those moments. He gets the moments where he can preach from here. He can go out and minister the word of God. Not everybody will have that opportunity, but that doesn't mean that you are less effective, because God uses most of us on a one-to-one basis or one-to-two basis to encourage people and to build into people's lives. And so what God is busy doing in you and what he wants to do through you can impact people in your comm groups, in your areas of influence, wherever you might find yourself. God can use you. And I want to encourage the older generation, run hard like Caleb did. Run hard for the kingdom of God. Because you know, one day you will go and be with Jesus, but one day you're going to be standing there and watching the effects of what you did this side of eternity outworking itself as people cross the finish line, I believe. And God will go, "As a result of you, as a result of you, as a result of you." Can I encourage you today with that? With that, so those of you to who that word applies is Titus 2, verses 1 to 2. And then I just felt, and Sherman beautifully led straight into that, I felt God wanted to do some healing. So I'm trusting that as we worshipped, we were singing, his fire is falling down as we're singing. I'm trusting that God will meet you where you're at and bring healing and restoration. We have a testimony that comes up. Somebody saying, you know what, I need to flow with my husband. What a vulnerable place to make yourself this afternoon. But that's beautiful. And I have a scripture for that person, 1 Peter 3, verses 1 to 7. Go and read it, but read it with your husband, because later on the scripture says to the husband, love your wife, be gentle with her, so that the Lord will hear your prayers. This is a beautiful moment. This is family. And so we want to be open with that. So God can heal and restore marriages. I felt like the Lord saying He wants to touch people in their finances. He wants to bring healing and restoration in your finances. Are you trusting in your money? Are you trusting in your company? Are you trusting in a company? Or are you trusting in God? The Israelites dwelled in the desert for 40 years. Supernaturally, sovereignly, were provided for food, clothing, shoes. For 40 years, they lacked no good thing. And I want to say to you, if God could do that with 2 million plus people, what more would He want to do with us today? That doesn't mean we won't face our challenges or our hardships, and you'll see where we're going to go with the preach. But the thing is, who do you trust? It's easy to say, I trust God when it's going well. Let me chuck that grenade out there for you. But when life's hardships hit us, that's when rubber hits the road. And that's why I felt, even to maybe bring it back to the guys that I mentioned earlier on, go and sit with some of the people that have had a journey in life. Because I can follow Henry. I know a little bit of his story, what he has gone through. I can follow Roger. You sit with him and you hear the stories that he's gone through and the challenges he's gone through. Yet, they have stayed steadfast. And they have focused on the road ahead, and they have served the Lord. That inspires me. And my prayer is, God, let me get to their age, look as good as they do, because they eat so well. But also, Lord, that they are on fire for God. That's what we want. And that must inspire us as we go forward. So I hope that will encourage you this afternoon. So with that, I'm titling my talk, Facing the Olive Press. And I'm going to ask if we can stick up the scriptures. And if you come to meetings, I want to encourage you, will you make notes? If you can, if you're using your phone, I hope it's not you texting your buddies and saying, I'll see you later. I hope it's because you're making notes, maybe writing down some of the scriptures. And sometimes what's important, don't try and write down the sermon. Try and write down the nuggets that God is dropping in your spirit. Because sometimes what happens is the word gets dropped and you go away from the meeting and you reflect on that. And I want to almost say, chew the cud. What that means is, you know, the cows, they chew their grass and they vomit it out again and then they chew it again. And sometimes we need to spend a bit of time on the Word of God and those nuggets that God is dropping in our hearts. So can I encourage you, make notes, because sometimes that's how we remember, because God speaks to us with that. As I share this word, I want to say to you that I count it an incredible privilege to be in the pulpit. You know, as I've let time go by and as the years have gone by, I realize the incredible privilege and the incredible responsibility we have to bring the Word of God to you. And I want to say to you that as you see me here, I'm Ants, I have flaws, I have weaknesses. Can you believe it? I struggled with that initially at one point until God showed me through COVID. You're self-sustaining, self-supporting, and actually you've got some issues and I'm going to deal with it. And boy, did He deal with it. But it's a privilege. And I'm, you know, God speaks to me through sport. And one of the things that He highlighted to me with the guys, you know, when they put their Springbok jersey on, often when the guys are interviewed, they say, you know what, I wear that thing with pride. And the reason being is because I'm not guaranteed to wear it next week. And this is one of those privileges that we have in God to say, Lord, I'm here. I want to serve your purposes. I want to serve you well. I want to give you the best that I can give you. I want you to be pleased. Not, I don't need to please man. I need to please you. And I want to deliver what's on your heart so that we as a congregation can move forward in the things of you. And Lord, if this is the last time that I wear the number 16 jersey in the rugby team, you might say there's 15. I'm the reserve orange peeler. Okay? And I'm very good at reserve orange peeling. But the point is this, I want to wear this moment. When I say with pride, not an arrogant pride, just with, thank you, Father, for the privilege, because there are many people here that potentially could be standing up here sharing. And so I pray what's imparted today will touch your lives and will encourage you on your journey in God. So let's go to Mark 14:32-38. So they went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, he said to them. Stay here and keep watch. Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but you will. Then he returned to his disciples and he found them sleeping. Simon, he said to Peter, we heard about that earlier on. Simon, Peter, 180 degree change. Are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. So with that, I've titled my talk, Facing the Olive Press. And the reason being for that is because the Garden of Gethsemane, the word Gethsemane means oil press. And this place that Jesus went to was a garden that would have had olive trees, but they probably would have had a little factory there where they would have been pressing the olives to get olive oil. Or maybe pickled olives or whatever the story might be. But this is a place where the olives would have been worked. And actually, the symbolism of this was that the Lord Jesus was going into a place where he would have his fleshly desires crushed so that he would find strength to do God's will. Now, I don't know about you, but if you had the opportunity to travel to Israel, which I know some of the Josh Jenners have had that privilege, but if you had to pick a place where you could go and spend half a day and just sit and be quiet, which part of the journey would you want to go and sit? For me, personally, the Garden of Gethsemane. I would want to go and sit there and spend half a day to a day there. I'd probably be a blubbering mess by the time we are finished there, because this is one of the texts that has spoken to me the most over the years. And there's times when I've read it that I've just literally wept on the bed as I've been reading this. Because I think what happens is when you read scripture, you try to get into a space where you try to understand what Jesus was actually going through. And sometimes we just read and we glibly go over stuff, but actually we actually need to put our heart and our emotions and our soul into this thing to understand actually what he went through. And so as we look at this, we know that this was a place where Jesus was going to have his fleshly desires crushed so he could find strength to do God's will. And this period that Jesus found himself in, he was not so much afraid of death. Rather, he knew how he was going to go to a place of dying and what actually was going to be happening to him. So if you're making notes, I want you to go and make a note and visit Isaiah 52 verses 13. And read straight through into Isaiah 53. And you finish Isaiah 53. Now, the reason why I'm not doing that, because there's too much to read through now. But you can go and do a bit of homework. But I want to ask you, when you read that, after you've heard this preach today, I want you to just consider for a moment, Jesus, who was the Son of God, he was the Messiah, knew the scriptures. And he knew what was written about him. He knew what he was going to experience. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 52, verses 13, it says that he would be beaten beyond recognition. I don't know about you, but I find often when I see stories on the crucifixion, our kiddie stories is Jesus hanging on the cross. It's funny how pristine and neat he looks hanging there. And his garments are all tidy and clean. Friends, he took the sin of the world upon him. He was beaten and smashed. He was sworn at. He was spat on. He was insulted. And many of us are sitting here and you'll probably shake your heads that, oh, that's intense. Because many of us have experienced what it is to be abused, what it is to be hurt, what it is to be smashed by words. You know, you can get punched in the face, but you'll be healed a week later. But some of you are carrying scars and wounds that were spoken to you when you were as old as 3 or 4 years old, because those things cut deep, which is what was spoken earlier on. So Jesus, when he went to the cross for you and I, took that on the cross. And he said, I'll take it on for you. I'll take it in your place. And the Bible says that when he got whipped, and it was being, this flesh was being ripped from him, it says, by his wounds we are healed. Because you see, we come to Jesus. There's no other name by which we can be saved. There's no other name by which we can be healed, but by the name of Jesus. And so, this was his story. And he knew what he was in for. So what does this mean for you and I? It's a good question. I love you guys when you ask these questions. You're very, very involved in this preach. The relevance for us here is that at different times in our lives, we are facing circumstances that feels like we are in the olive press. We are in this olive grove, and like we are going through hell. Literally, for some of us. Some of you might be saying, I don't know why I'm going through this. I didn't ask for this. I look back on my life and I think when I was growing up, when we're growing up, I'm going to get married, I'm going to do this with my career, and I'm going to do blah, blah, blah. And so the story goes on, and I get my beautiful wife and we have our beautiful children and we are on a nice journey and God is good. And then there's different aspects of your journey where life gets really hard. So I'm going to fast track back to last year. My journey of hell was COVID, as it was for many of you, where God brought me to a place and he made me realize, and he said, Ant, you know what your problem is? You wanted everything waxed. It was all about you. It was actually self-sustaining, self-supporting, self-sufficient. You always had a plan B, C, D, E, and F. He says, well, now we're going to see how we're going to fix that. And he brought me to a place where I no longer could trust on my skills and my abilities. In fact, at one point, I cried out to God and I said to him, you know, Lord, I don't understand how I got here. Yes, I've made mistakes. I've tried to do everything that you've asked me to do. But God, this is quite embarrassing. This is quite embarrassing because my friends and my family used to say to me, yes, man, you're such a good business person. Now, God, I'm selling toilet paper, dishwashing liquid, and Belega socks to put food on my table. It's very humbling. Thank you to some of you who bought, by the way. But the point is this. We got to go through some of these things. And I want to say to you, if you want to live a pristine life and one where you won't have challenges, God cannot produce the oil from your life. He cannot produce the goodness. That's what happens when olives get crushed and they get broken and they get squeezed. That's when the goodness comes out. And how many of us can say, thank goodness for the olive, because we have olive oil dressing on our salads or we cook with it. And this stuff is amazing. But just imagine what God can do with your life if you go through the press and you allow him to work in you and you allow him to work through you so that his goodness can flow, so that through that he is glorified and honored. So there are three principles we're going to learn. I want to learn from Jonathan Stanfield. And you know, it was very powerful, his preach a couple of weeks ago. Do you guys remember what his three points were? Reject the new normal. Believe God for favor. And let's do something adventurous. That's what I'm hoping will happen. We'll be able to walk away and say, oh, hang on, there's three points that Ant's made today. Not because of me, but because God is speaking to you. So we want to learn from this text. And what are the three points that I think we can learn from this through Jesus facing the olive press? So the first one is from the scriptures that we have just read. The first thing Jesus did, he ran to the Father. So if you're making notes, run to the Father. And I want to tell you something, it's important that the first place that you go to is to the Father. That means we need to make time for him. You know, I'm reminded, some people will say to me, I don't have time. Life is busy. I've got children. I've got a husband or a wife. Work and so on. Some people say, I don't have time for exercise. The thought that came to my mind was, you know, if you have a heart attack and the doctor says to you, Sonny, you have now a couple of choices. You need to make time to eat right, you need to sleep well, and you need to exercise. If you don't do those three things, you're going to die. My experience has been that everybody I know that has had a stroke or a heart attack that has been told that has made the adjustments. I'm asking you today, will you make the adjustments? Because what has happened is we get caught up with the world and the systems of the world. The Bible says in Romans 12, says, do not conform to the ways of the world. Let's do what Jesus did, and we run to the Father, and we make time for the Father. It's more important for us to do that. I would say to you, 5 or 10 or 15 minutes in His presence is far better for you than nothing in His presence, and you try and take on a day without Him. So Jesus ran to the Father. The second thing in that particular heading is the importance of prayer. Communing with God is talking to God. It's about getting up close and personal with Him. And I love what Rory Dyer once said. For those of you who might not know, he was involved in leading a church in Pretoria. One of the stories that he taught about Jesus before the Father, he says, this is what prayer is. Do you want to hear what it is? He says, God, I need your help. You come to the Father. God, I need your help. Jesus was facing the most difficult time of his life. What did he demonstrate for you and I? God, I need your help. Why? Because he needed his help to face what he was going to go through. Why? Because he saw you and I. And he knew that if he stuck to that which God had called him to, that many of us would hear the gospel, respond to the gospel, and our names would be written in the book of life. That's why he did that. Thirdly, in that, when you come before the Father, make yourself vulnerable. That lady that came up here, I don't know where you are, who you are. Beautiful, thank you. Well done. Well done. You know what? That's more than half the battle won you. And God sees your heart, and he's going to do an amazing work in your life. Because you know what? We're embarrassed. We don't like to talk about our stuff. But Jesus did something here. It starts with being vulnerable before the Father. I want to ask you, do you for 1 minute think Jesus, because he was God, was going, well, you know what? I'm fully man, I'm fully God, but you know what? I'm going to go through, you know, I can handle this because I've got superpowers. No. He came and he identified with humanity in every way. I feel like God, through this, has highlighted to me that there are some of us that are sitting here, you're battling with depression. I want to say to you, that's okay. Stop being embarrassed. You're battling with depression. You're battling with anxiety. You're battling with fear. I want to say to you, that's okay. Now, you might be saying, Ants, why are you saying this is okay? I say, because you know what? Because with God, all things become possible. God can heal you. God can restore you. God can renew you. God can refresh you. But you know what? You got to go to Him and you got to present that to Him and say, God, I'm struggling. I need your help. Before I go on to my next point, I don't want you to stop your medication. I don't want you to stop seeing your counselors. I don't want you to do anything that is going to be contrary to that which has been prescribed to you. But what I do want to do is I want to add to your prescription. I said to you, would you turn and run to the Father? Present your stuff to Him. I have been there. I have faced anxiety. I have faced fear. I have faced depression, not diagnosed by a doctor, but I can assure you, if I can understand what people go through when they are depressed, I can see all the symptoms to the point that it made me so sick. My blood pressure shot through the roof. I had to hold walls to keep myself up straight in my home because I was under stress and pressure. Now, I want you to, for a minute, think of what Jesus was going through. And he was just real with the Father. I had to become real with the Father in Madagascar a number of years ago because I was so sick to the point that I would pray and say, God, please, whatever you do, do not let me die here. I don't want my wife to have to come and fetch my body in Madagascar. Just let me finish off here and go back home and die. Okay, it was a bout of man flu that I was possibly struggling with. You know, us guys, we can lace that a bit. But the point is this, it was weighty. And I promise you, as I stand here today, I really, really thought at some point I was going to die. Actually, I was dying. I was dying emotionally. I was dying spiritually. I was dying in my marriage, in my parenting, in my friendships. I was dying. But in those moments, that's where God started to catch my heart because I had to pour it out to Him. I just had to be real with Him. And I can testify today of His goodness. It's not a quick pop in the microwave and a minute later you've got your popcorn. This was a journey of 3 years and some. And I want to tell you, I'm still in that journey. That journey will only complete when Jesus comes for me or He calls me. But that's when I reach perfection. And that's the encouragement to every single one of you here today. Make yourself vulnerable before the Father. Be real, authentic. God is okay with it. He's big enough. Let me show you what the scriptures say. Maybe Brent, you guys can put up Psalm 42, verses 5 and 6. Look at this. Listen to David. This guy's like the superhero of the Bible. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God. Can you say that? Put your hope in God. Come on, let's say that with a bit of vim out. Put your hope in God. He says, for yet I will praise Him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. And then we go on to the next scripture. You'll see Psalm 43, verses 5. Listen, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. These are moments that we need to draw close to God. And despite what we are feeling and going through, you push into the King. You run to the Father. There are too many people that run away from church, run away from the comm groups, run away from the leaders. Can I say to you, your being here today is already a start because you're running to the Father. But some of us are needing to press a little deeper in. And it says there, even from a place of being downcast, what does it do? Yet I will praise you. I know, it's hot this afternoon. And we want to worship the song, the Lord, and we want to give it our horns and everything, but we're tired. But I want to tell you something. God's not interested in your feelings and your emotions. He's interested in your faithfulness and your obedience. Will you push in to the things of Him? Listen to this, John 12, 27. Now we're starting to get more into this thing. Jesus, now my heart is troubled. He's with His disciples. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. And yet Jesus demonstrates something as well, just being authentic, being real about where He was at. 1 Peter 5, verses 7. I don't know if you've got it there. Let's see what the Bible says to us. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He... Can we say that again? Because He... You see, we read the word, but do we really believe this? You see, when we go through hardships, do we really hold on to these things? And I want to say to you, I'm embarrassed to say this to you. I've led a church where, I've got to say, through the challenges that I went, I didn't believe some of this stuff. You see, it's easy for me to have stood and say, oh, God will come through for you on your finances. God will do this, God will do that, blah, blah, blah. And God goes, since when do you tell me what I'm going to do? You don't know my ways, you don't know my thoughts, and you don't know what I'm busy doing with these people. So don't act on my behalf. Oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. That's why I love some of the teachings. Andrew stretches us massively, because I don't know why sometimes God doesn't heal people. We're sitting with folk who've got terminal cancer in our midst. I don't know why. But I'll tell you one thing that I have seen is God show them His love. And His kindness and His goodness that will spur them on to keep them going. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, His purposes will prevail. Do I believe that God can heal them? Yes. Absolutely. But I'm not God. According to His will, and perhaps He will heal. But the ultimate healing will come when they cross that finish line and they're with him. The Bible says there will be no more crying, no more tears, no more sadness, no more sorrow, but just joy, because we will be worshiping. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 2 to 6, and I'm going to start winding down now. When you're with the Father, this is a powerful weapon that we have. We sang earlier on that his fire falls down, and that when we're singing, his fire falls down, and it spoke of it being a powerful weapon, but yeah, is a powerful weapon. Listen to this. It says, I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. That's very powerful. This is prayer that we need to understand is extremely powerful. I want you to think of what Jesus was going through when he prayed to the Father. It is humanly impossible to have followed through on what he was going to go through without the help of the Father. So, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Let me tell you, at that point, I think Satan was saying, listen, buddy, you can actually get out here if you actually want to. This is a moment that, you know, you don't have to do this, Jesus. You can actually get out of this thing. And what does he do? No, he sets himself in a place where he will hold on to the truth and the call of God in his life, and he brings that back into line, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ, and we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience. Once your obedience is complete, what are we looking at here? Friends, the Bible teaches us that we have a powerful weapon, and it's a weapon of prayer. The interesting thing about Jesus at this given time, did you notice in the scripture that we read in Mark, three times he went back to go and pray? And I felt like the Lord said to me, Ants, we need to teach the people to be persistent in prayer. Their breakthrough will come. Not necessarily the way you think it will come through, but God is faithful. He loves you. You are a child of God if you are a Christ follower. But you see, we want popcorn prayers. Sometimes we've got to learn what Jesus demonstrated for us, and we've got to push in until we get that breakthrough. And I want to tell you something. It's hard. For some of us, we say, I haven't got time. Well, what are you doing at 4:00 in the morning? Set your alarm, get up, and spend time with the Lord. Just don't do what I do, because I put a headphone in here and I put it on and I walk around the house singing, firstly waking up my wife and my daughter, who are unimpressed because I'm singing all the false notes, but it sounds really cool in my ears. I'm the only one who can hear the music. Get up early and spend time with him. Persistent prayer. Right. I said there were three points. The second main point is this. We need the body of Christ. I'm not going to spend much time on this because we are busy, and it's been hit well by Mike Davies and some of the guys in the life of the church. But it's interesting that when you look at Jesus, what did he do? He took some people with him to go and pray. That speaks of us being in community. That speaks of us needing the body of Christ around us. God did not call you and I to be lone rangers, to operate on our own. He actually brought you into family. And I want to tell you something today. And I know I've said this a few times. The person sitting in front of you, the person to your left, your right, and behind you, if they are a Christ follower, they are your brother or your sister. You can choose your friends, but unfortunately, you don't get to choose us. That's the bottom line. And so if your friend in front of you grates you a little bit, listen to what Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one sharpens another. God has put that person in this place to bring out the stuff that needs to be brought out in your heart. So maybe some of our relationships is a little bit of crushing that needs to happen. Why? Because maybe we need to learn not to be so selfish and make it all about us, rather than how can I serve you? How can I be a blessing to you? We don't have that luxury and that privilege to live for ourselves. We live to serve one another. Jesus even demonstrated that in John 13. Can I say this afternoon, very kindly to you, wonderful, wonderful family, that you, the church isn't here for you. You are here for the church, because God uses your gifts, your talents, your abilities, and your resources to serve in and through the local body so that his name can advance and the kingdom advances and people are one for Christ. So we need to see our need for one another. within that, we're called to care for one another. What does that look like? Galatians 6:2 tells us, carry one another's burdens. How can you carry someone's burden? Pray for them. Encourage them. If you know that they're struggling, you might not be able to sort out their financial situation, but what you can do is you can pray for them and encourage them and give them hope. The second part of that journey as we walk out together is to understand that each one of us, Galatians 6:5 says, each one is to carry his own load. A load shared is halved. The other half is what Jesus demonstrated that he needed to walk out his part of his journey. So he shared with the disciples. He said, I'm struggling. I'm in distress. Please come with me. Wait over here. Pray for me. I'm going a little bit over there. What was he doing? He's saying, I want you to participate in what's happening. He was being real and vulnerable with them. But at the same time, he was being real and vulnerable with the Father. And we as Christ followers and as the body of Christ need to see our role and the importance of identifying the struggles that people are going through. Be there to support them. But can I suggest this afternoon, let's get back to what Scripture says. Jesus didn't put it on his disciples to go to the cross. He knew that that was his part that he had to carry out. So whatever your load is, carry it out with dignity. Carry it out as to honor the Lord. And I remember years ago, there was a lady in Common Ground who... In fact, she was from Heart Bay and she had cancer. And whenever you saw that lady, and we've seen some of our ladies here and they've carried themselves exceptionally well, I want to honor them today. But I remember one of the things that one of the leaders got up and said to the lady, I can't remember what her name was, he said, but you look beautiful today. And he says, you know what, as you sit here, yeah, we know what you're struggling with, but nobody here would know that you're facing this challenge and that you've got cancer, but you're carrying it with dignity. That is worship as unto the Lord. So, as I wind down that second point, share your load and your burdens. When I say share your burdens with one another, but walk your load out. But be there. It'll make the load easier to bear when we support and pray and encourage one another. And the last point I want to end off with this is make yourself vulnerable with appropriate people. Just be real with them. The third, final, main point, stay focused on the purposes of God. Jesus wasn't trying to get rid of his calling. He knew what he was in for and the suffering and the humiliation he was going to face. He knew what was required of him. He knew what his purpose was, and his desire was to fulfill the purposes of God for his life. Despite his situation, what did he do? The way that he lived his life and the way that he went about things showed that he truly trusted God. And he was willing to walk in obedience. I don't know some of the things that you're facing right now. We know some of you are facing some hectic stuff. But do you trust God enough? And are you willing to walk in obedience so that he ultimately will be glorified and honored? I want to say to you, stay the course. Sometimes I've, in my most difficult times last year, I had to say to the Lord, you know, Lord, I've had to sell toilet paper, dishwashing liquid, Belega socks. I don't understand. Seems a little bit unfair because some of these guys up the road, they were doing X, Y, and Z, and I've tried to do everything right, and yet it just seems so unfair. Can you actually believe that I could pray that prayer? It might disappoint some of you, but the reality is that's where I was at. And God had to deal with that in my heart. And as each day went by, eventually I just came to a point, and I just said, you know what, God? I love you. Listen, and I'm... Lee will tell you, I'm not making this up now. I had to get to a place and say, God, I love you. God, I trust you. And if my business has to close, I didn't cause this, but if my business has to close, I've got to trust that you've got something else for me. To be honest, Lord, it's very scary because I've never lived in this place before. I don't know what it's like to be there because I had everything thought out. But God, if this is what you want, I will submit to it. But know this, Lord, as best as I can within me, I'm going to hold onto your leg. You know, like little guys when they run and they hold onto their dad's leg and they won't let go and you try and kick them off. I said to him, I will hold on. In my heart and in my mind, I saw myself holding onto his leg and I will not let go. Why? Because I want to fulfill his plans and purposes for my life. The application is very simply this. What are you currently facing? And I want to ask you right now as you sit there, what are you facing? Will you name it? It might be one thing, it might be two things. What are you facing? Will you name it? Name it for what it is. Secondly, run to the Father and then express that to Him. Thirdly, what scriptures would you use to help you, to strengthen you, and fight off the enemy? And fourthly, share with someone your battle. Get them to pray with and for you. And lastly, keep on keeping on, fulfilling the plans and purposes that God has for your life, despite what you are facing. Because once you go through the press, what comes out will be glorious. It will be worth it in the end. Father, this afternoon, we thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your word, the richness of your word. And I want to pray today, Lord, as this word went out, you know exactly where every man, woman, young person, every family, where they're at. And I want to pray, God, that by your Holy Spirit, you would convict us, Lord, through your word of that which we need to deal with in our lives. And Lord, that we would follow this example of Jesus. Lord, that we say often, Lord, we'll center our lives on Jesus. Lord, let that be part of our centering our lives on Jesus, is just simply following his example and imitating him. Because Lord, it shows that we trust you and that we're willing to be obedient. God, we need your help in this journey. We need your help in this life, Lord. And I'm asking you, Lord, right now, for every man, every woman, and every family present here, Lord, whatever their needs are, wherever they find themselves, I'm asking you, Father, as a son, as one of the leaders of this house, I'm asking you, God, for your intervention. For your intervention, God, would you come and restore, heal, do what you need to do. Lord, tangibly touch their lives. Lord, that we will see testimony after testimony as people speak of your goodness as they pushed into you and as you came through for them. I thank you for this now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Ants and everybody. So we may...